listening to Mike Loughran and the Management Perspectives podcast. Please follow me on LinkedIn and Twitter, where I publish all of my podcasts and blogs.
Hi, my name is Mike Loughran, and this is the Management Perspectives podcast. In this show, we'll be discussing the latest developments in immersive technologies like AR and VR, and how manufacturing leaders are applying them to solve immediate and more long-term problems. And today, I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by someone who's been watching developments in this area very, very closely. Olivier, would you like to introduce yourselves to the listeners, please?
Hey, Mike, good morning. Thank you. So Olivier Altarlin, I'm leading the business for PTC in France and the Benelux. And for sure, this company has developed a lot of insights regarding the usage of IoT and augmented and mixed reality in the industry space.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Olivier. To kick us off, you know, for a long time, the worlds of augmented, virtual, mixed reality felt almost incongruent with the hard physical machinery of manufacturing, you know, and use in everyday life. But that's fast changing, and that's due to the capabilities associated with these technologies. Collectively, we now refer to it as extended reality, advances at a staggering pace, you know. Today, devices like smartphones, tablets, smart glasses, and even VR headsets are starting to become actually part of the fabric of industrial environments, something that we didn't see probably 2 to 3 years ago. And this is bringing massive opportunities for productivity, collaboration, and talent development. I'd like to delve into a little bit more detail with Olivier on this. So, Olivier, to kick us off, how far along the road are we really on this journey?
That's a good question. We saw this journey starting in the industrial space like 4 or 5 years ago, where this technology was seen as a real pioneer technology to be tested in some corners and not really operationally in the field. Reason being, maybe guys, we have much more to invest and return on investment to get in other more classical areas of the business to get right data for everybody in the field distributed through PLM or ERP. And this is like a gadget that we see in our everyday life more and more in our smartphones as consumers. But how can we imagine having that operational in the field, in the industrial field? And then, as you said, with the progress of the hardware on the one hand, and the fact that obviously this becomes a really quick win solution to get more return on investment on digitalization, we started seeing real operational development and projects going on in order to ease the access to data for the explaining the usage of a tool, explaining how a tool should be maintained by an operator, and so on, and other usage. And now we see, I would say we've been seeing since 1 year, 1 year and a half, real industrial project being kicked off, going into this direction.
Yeah, so that kind of year and a half, did lockdown have any impact on that?
That's my point. It had a lot. This tough time accelerated the adoption of this technology, for sure. Why? Because first, from one day to another, people have to work without traveling, not being on site anymore. So, oh yes, we need remote assistance. We need the experts that cannot travel anymore to be able to provide the right guidance to the field operators. While we have a solution enabling us to perform, for instance, remote review of remote design reviews or remote configuration review of a given product together with customers, with pilot customers, using rendering solutions in addition to that. And so it went like something very obvious that, yes, it's now time to use and develop and implement these solutions because we simply need them. And by the end, they are so easy to implement. We just have to be careful with the hardware we are going to use because we cannot ask field people, require field people to wear something heavy during hours in the day while they are performing tasks on the shop floor. But to also perform things like knowledge transfers, because given this crisis, we have to reinvent our industrial model. So plants that used to be to deliver product A during years now have to become flexible and to be able to deliver product B and month one and product C the next quarter. So this requires a lot of flexibility, and this flexibility generates a request to configure the machines and the production in a different angle. And this can be done through transferring the knowledge from plant one to plant two. And this technology can be used for that as well. So for all these reasons, we saw a real change in the acceptation of this technology by the industrial leaders.
I'm Mike Lockhart, and you're listening to the Management Perspectives podcast. Today, I'm discussing extended reality with my guest, Olivier Heltelin, Sales Vice President for France and Benelux at PTC. So we've kind of mentioned a few terms in the last couple of minutes, just so we're all on the same page. Would you like to define what extended reality is to our listeners? For those that aren't quite, where does that, you know, what is it?
So extended reality is a big umbrella covering both virtual reality and augmented reality. Augmented reality being the ability on the physical world to see in overimpression digital information coming from the information system, like, for instance, maintenance guides. And virtual reality is a way to look at virtual things like if it was reality, but not implanted on physical objects. And all of this is covered by the umbrella of extended reality.
Brilliant. Now that kind of helps us align around that, because I know there is some confusion out there within the kind of market. And, you know, I think probably many of the smartphone addicts and gamers who are listening have probably utilized this and had a lot of fun with it. So there's that consumer awareness, which you touched on. Why should this matter, though, to executives in the industrial sector? How can they use it?
So first of all, you were mentioning gaming, and I believe it's important to acknowledge that the new generation of employees, of engineers, are not looking at the world in the same way. They want their experience at work to be something amazing, funny, looking at heavy information systems with plenty of lines and not good screens, I would say heavy screens, is not an experience they would like to have. So implementing this kind of, not call it gaming, but a virtual experience or augmented experience in the real life is also attracting new talents first, or enabling us to retain talents, enabling industrials to retain talents. I would say we've been implementing over the last three decades heavy data containers like PLM and ERP. It took a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of money, and this is still important, and this is still an effort to harmonize the access to the data and the quality of the data. But here we are certainly for one of the first time, focusing on the user and the user experience first. So it is important to take care of the users and they love it. It is important to carry the information down to the field contributors in the shop floor. So this is something brand new. Instead of, hey, you have an old screen somewhere, you can check if your data for your production are ready. No, you have really something top-notch that you can use and that will enable you, while looking at your everyday job in the physical world, to get access to digital information. And doing that, it's also a more easygoing project and easy to implement in a range of 6 months, rather than implementing a core data, because we are not creating additional data. We are using the data that we have in the CAD, in the PLM space, or in the ERP systems, and we are bringing them to life into this augmented reality function and display. And so it's also a way to implement quick things that will enable and augment the quality of the work for the people.
So to me, it looks like it's a fantastic way of bringing together the digital thread that is multiple points of data from across the enterprise, but bringing that together in a very user-friendly manner to apply it against a physical attribute. So it actually enhances an employee's work experience and gets them the data quickly in a manner that's very easy to look at, so they can solve and do their job more quickly and easily. Would that be right?
Yeah, it is right. It is completely right. And again, a big change is that we are bringing this kind of data outside of the offices down to the shop floor. And this is making a big difference. And this is removing a lot of paper, by the way. And then on the flip side, it means as well that we have to review some processes and methods in order to keep the right safety on these shop floors. Because once you put glasses and you on somebody's head and you change his way of doing his job, this could of course change the overall method of work on the field, and we have still to keep it safe and to be sure that the interaction between the machine and the human is going in the right direction.
Yeah, that's a very important point. And, you know, the benefits that it gives us, you know, should never be overlooked, but also the people involved in it should also be a key part of that. So, you know, we talk about people, process and technology. We talked about lockdown and how that sped it up. Has there been any other things that have sped up the adoption of this technology?
As I mentioned, companies are looking for restructuring their industry. One is also an intake from this COVID crisis that we want to bring back some production from Asia, for instance, back to Europe. So instead of creating new plants, can we use old ones for other purpose while introducing more flexibility? So this purpose of using augmented reality for knowledge transfer, so we know very well how to deliver and how to deliver such a product in the Netherlands, for instance. So let's teach our colleagues in Poland how to do the same. I'm mentioning this because this is a case we have had with one of our customers, who was in this situation during the COVID crisis, because it is eliminating a lot of travel. And also, we did not speak a lot about remote assistance, and this can really ease these kind of tasks, where the objective is to bring the availability of a given product or a given service up. For instance, when you have a train that is stopped because of an issue, today you have to bring physical people with another train close to them, close to the one who gets in trouble, in order to find a solution, to find a resolution. With this kind of technology, you can imagine having a help center somewhere in where people are grouped and work together, and supporting remotely people acting in the physical setup of the train. And this also contributes to this world of services where we are, where we expect always more availability of the services we are buying. And we know after the COVID, there will be a lot of travel if I take the lot of challenge, sorry, in the travel industry to be eco-friendly and to be safe and to be on time. And this kind of solution will really help for the development of some new ways of transporting people. This is just an example.
I'm Mike Loughran, and you're listening to the Management Perspectives Podcast. If you're enjoying the Management Perspectives Podcasts and want to learn more, join us on LinkedIn and take the next steps on your digital transformation journey.
Yeah, I mean, you touched on availability there, and people's requirement for availability. Availability in industry is absolutely key. How easy is it actually to implement the technologies into an existing industrial environment? Is there an infrastructure required?
So generally, these technologies are hosted on the cloud and are provided as software as a service. This is our recommendation, avoiding having to create an on-purpose infrastructure. Anyway, this can be discussed depending on the sensitivity of the data you are doing to put into the augmented reality place. Then comes another challenge about the network in some places, because we can have some AR place, in places where we don't have enough network. So goes as well with the reflection about 5G, for instance. And 5G will for sure accelerate the deployment of this technology. And then you have to develop the place. And this is more a business topic. And generally, it's pretty easy to gather the information and develop the AR plays. The more you will be integrated with your core data, the more it will require, of course, this kind of integration task with CAD or PLM. But the reason why we have brought to the market this technology is that for us, it is natural to build this bridge between our Creo and Windchill technology together with Vuforia augmented reality.
So it sounds like you don't need a huge internal infrastructure to start to get the benefits out of a system such as this. It can be very much adapted to what's already there, or what you can utilize within the cloud or standard technology such as 5G, etc., which is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah. Frankly, the very important point is to manage the bandwidth of the network and the security of it. We are carrying anyway sensitive industrial data. So we know cybersecurity in all the ways is something very, very important for all the industrials. And we have, unfortunately, many examples where this has been demonstrated, that piracy takes place within within the industry. So we are taking it very seriously. And that, today, the SaaS infrastructure we are providing, we are proposing, is guaranteeing a high level of security for these systems.
No, I'm glad you mentioned that. That's because that is one of those key things for many of our industries. Security is key, robustness is key, availability is key. But it's classed as a standard, right? So I think people are more than happy with that. And you know, we've covered quite a few areas there, and some of the benefits we've covered, some of the use cases around it, and obviously some of the technology and the infrastructure barriers. If somebody was kind of looking to start on this journey and thought this sounds really good, I think we could utilize this. We could free up some of our employees' time. We could be quicker time to market. What would be your suggestions? Where would you start?
Very good point. The journey starts with the identification of the best use cases. Never do that because it is funny to implement a new technology. You do that because it provides outstanding value and it is doable. Means we have people in the field that will use that, we can manage change management pretty easily, including the usage of the hardware to make it happen. And of course, we have a big return on investment expected because we are saving a lot of time and a lot of energy in order to get the right data at the right place at the right time. So it all starts with business conversations with business decision makers, like plant managers or branch managers within an industry. Then second step, it comes with once you have identified the right use cases that bring the right value and that are implementable on the user's perspective, of course, come down the technical aspects that we have just mentioned, like cybersecurity and network bandwidth and selection of the right hardware. And then comes the implementation, which is generally the easiest part once you have sold all the first ones. But the most important is always to look at the business importance, the business case that stands behind. Today, talking about augmented maintenance operator, for instance, is something that is, I would say, falling into the everyday language of industrial service providers. It will become in the next years very quick a commodity to talk about this kind of usage. So this use case is stamped, I would say. Yes, it is something that we have obviously to put in place if we want to be at the level of our competitors. And so goes other, so will come other use cases that just carry the right importance and business case for the industrials.
So as we come to the end of the podcast, you know, final thoughts. Certainly speaking with you, Olivier, I mean, extended reality could have quite a profound implication for the future of manufacturing environments. If you had to summarize, what words of advice would you leave our listeners with to make to help them on this journey and to make it reality?
My first word would be to say, don't imagine it is something done for the others. It will come as a commodity very soon. So don't put it aside. Have a real serious look at it. It will become something that will make the difference for the productivity of your business, for the satisfaction of your customers, for the satisfaction of your employees. It's not a gadget. It is something that is now at the level of an industrial solution. Look first at something standalone. Don't look first at the very complex cases integrated with existing information system XYZ. But then design a roadmap where you will get more value while integrating it with existing information system. And keep in mind that this is tooling your people. So look at the right hardware, look at the right security, look at the right network bandwidth. So it stays something easy to use and pleasant to use, which will very quickly generate adoption without a big effort because it is self-going technology. And then you will go to success, you will expand, and you will save a lot of time and a lot of money using this technology.
Brilliant. Olivier, many thanks for your words there. It's certainly helped me to kind of picture how this can be rolled out and utilized in a much more relevant manner on a day-to-day basis. And thank you very much to the listener for joining us. You've been listening to the Management Perspectives podcast. Please follow me, Mike Loughran, on LinkedIn and Twitter, where I publish all of my podcasts and blogs. If you enjoyed the podcast, please rate and review us, as this really helps the show.